B-Pod Studios.
Hear ye, hear ye, the Honorable Judge E. Rosen, whoever, in New England.
Yeah, some Jew.
we're
everywhere.
Boston, kiss my ass twice.
Yeah, whatever Jews on that court up there in merry old England.
Jews running rampant in the pompous mountains in this area.
Right. Those mountains there, I mean, they are as pompous as they get.
Wow.
As opposed to Kansas City, where there's no Jews.
Pompous Lord. Mountains and Maine.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. We're in the Town Fair Tire Studios. Feel free to give us a jingle jangle over at 617-779-0985. You can watch us on twitch.tv. And you can stream us on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. And it was Tommy Lee's birthday, I guess, yesterday, because I was on the gram. I was knocking out some cameos, doing my thing. Who cares? And I saw it was Tommy Lee's birthday, and Tommy Lee's interesting because he's, you know, to not much acclaim, but he is branched into what you would be considered hip-hop, and he's been embraced by, DJs and stuff, you know, like club DJs. Because of his antics as a member of Motley Crue, he's known as a party animal. He's married to one of these TikTok ladies, a beautiful TikTok woman. So he's embraced that. Some of the people that were wishing him happy birthday were, because you played that song, Rich, coming in.
Uh-huh. Fantastic. Is Phil Vincent, isn't he the guitar the guy from, he's got the band Cranston down in
Rhode Island. Everyone go book Cranston. So, you know, but there were people from back in the day that were wishing him happy birthday, and they were focusing on the, like, metal years that he had. And that needs to come back. There needs to be some sort of debaucherous, just guitar and bass-driven, guitar-driven, like, sleazy rock music again. Like, just where people were just wasted all the time. That needs to come back. I missed that, because every time they showed Tommy Lee in those scenarios, I was like, ah. And then they'd flash to some DJ at some stupid club playing his crap with, you know, auto-tuned rap, and I was like, ah.
Well, that's why bands like The Darkness have been so welcome. And by the way, The Darkness, I've said this, they continue to make great music. And they have, you know, ever since their first one came out, and, you know, they're keeping it. They're keeping that sound alive, but it's hanging by a thread right
but
now.
But I mean, the whole lifestyle. Motley Crue were never, a very good band. I mean, Motley Crue are far, 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 far more famous for their debauchery than they are for their music.
You see, I loved their music. Like, I think Shout at the Devil is a great rock album. Like, that's a great rock album. And you're right. On the rest of their albums, you pick about three songs from each album that are really good, and then the rest of it's not. You know, like, Girls, 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 you've got that song in Wild Side, and the rest of it you can pretty much take.
Well, they don't even like that album. They don't like Girls, 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 or no one likes Theater of Pain.
That's there's a couple songs on Theater of Pain that I love, and I hear them talk trash, and I'm like, there's some really good songs on that album. And Dr. Feelgood, the song Dr. Feelgood is as good as it gets. Like, when it comes to, like, Hair and that era, there aren't many better songs than that one. It's like, to me, that's one of the rare songs that I would even put at the same level as something on Appetite for Destruction. And it was tough, because that album, to me, is untouchable. Like, that was the best of that era. But the song Dr. Feelgood is unbelievable. See, I think they were a really good band that just was batting about 500 on their albums.
Well, they only have a handful of albums.
Like six albums? Dude, I go John Corabi on your ass. Come on, man. Hooligans Holiday, anyone?
That's right. That was a huge success. But so they had the first record that wasn't really a major label release. Then they had,
which is great, Too Fast for Love has like three, once again, amazing songs on it.
All right.
Livewire is a great song.
I just like when he sets his boot on fire and then it goes into slow motion in the video. And you go, whoa!
piece of your actions on that. I mean, that's one of my favorite cruise songs.
You know what he means there?
He means vagina.
I'm
getting it. I mean, it's right. I mean, it's like hooking up with chicks.
Yeah, he goes, I want a piece of your action. It's because you can't just come out and say you want to have sex. You have to say, I want a piece of your action. The girl goes, woof. How many times did Eckersley have that bad boy on? and then you had Too Fast for Love. Then you had the Shout at the Devil record,
which is great.
Then you had Theater of Pain. Mm-hmm. Then you had Girls, Girls, Girls. Then you had Dr. Feelgood. So there's essentially four albums. And two of
five
them are...
Albums. There's five.
Did I count five? Was that five there?
Yeah.
I thought it was four.
No, you got...
Two Fast for Love, five. Yeah, so five records. So they had basically five records, two of which I go... Well, Girls, Girls, Girls was very successful, but it was not a good record. But
it had a Wild Side on it, didn't it?
It did have Wild Side.
That's a great song.
Wild Side's a good song, but then again, you know, it is... I mean, there's about 5,000 records I'd probably rather put on than Girls, Girls, Girls.
That's fair.
Even though Girls, 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 that riff is undeniable.
I love that riff.
That album was dirty. Out when I was in fifth grade. That album was out. That is how old that is. Because when I was in the Electric Potatoes, we did Spud, Spud, Spuds.
I was in a band called Lunar Death that did parody songs, too.
Yeah. Well, in fifth grade, we were in Electric Potatoes, and our song was Spud, Spud, Spuds. Uh-huh. It was exciting. And then we had another song, Couch Potato, but that was it really a joke, or was it sending a message to America? Get off your asses. But anyway, regardless of what you feel about their music, I do miss the debauchery. I do miss, you know, people going to the Rainbow and drinking and things of that nature. But nonetheless, that is long gone. Did you guys see any of the highlights of Saturday Night Live?
I watched Saturday Night Live. I watched
it. Did not watch it.
Oof. Oof.
Bad?
Well, you could tell from the beginning.
Hachi-machi.
That bad, huh?
Well, wow. See, if you could tell from the beginning that the setup and everything was off. Like, something about the way that they had to do it, you could tell had thrown off the people who held the cue cards, like where they were, because many times the cast members were looking for where the lines were. There was production parts that weren't quite right. So I think this first show back, it affected more than just the actors having to, you know, be in certain places. I think that it affected the entire production. So there were certain parts where just like the actors were waiting for their lines and there were these long pauses. So, I mean, it was definitely off.
Well, Chris Rock cannot host any kind of sketch show again. He can do a monologue. He can do his stand-up in the beginning. But Chris Rock is just a zero when it comes to... And Chris Rock's obviously a great, great, great stand-up comedian. But he cannot participate in any kind of sketch comedy. I mean, it's awful. Just awful. And then if it was all the pacing, which I agree, there was, I don't know what the hell they were doing there. I don't know the ins and outs of it, nor do I care.
Yeah.
But the pre-recorded crap was awful, too. So, I mean, just because what I do is they put it up there on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And usually I'll knock out, it used to be on the AV Club and it was all there very nice. But I'll go in and I'll go on YouTube and look at it. And I'll watch like two or three sketches. I never watch the Weekend Update. I don't care for it. I don't like that Colin Jost. Okay. I get enough of my Harvard comedy right around here. And it was so bad that I had to keep watching it. It was just so bad.
How is the Biden Trump thing with Jim Carrey?
So that thing at the beginning was the pacing.
Just the right amount of time.
Well, yeah. So like you could tell that like the jokes were okay, but what happened was
it was 15 minutes.
The camera would be on. No, I don't think it was 15 minutes.
It was 15 minutes. I watched it on YouTube.
God, that's crazy. Really?
Yeah, it was 15 minutes. The cold open was 15 minutes.
Wow, I didn't realize.
Yeah,
they could have done 8 minutes and it would have been fine. Jim Carrey's just whatever.
Was he decent as Biden or not?
Yeah, he was. Okay. He was fine. But the problem was he would be talking and the camera would be on Alec Baldwin as Trump when it wasn't supposed to be. Like everything production wise was off, and like they just like neither one knew when to talk. It was definitely strange.
The cold open, I didn't see any of that happening, but the cold open was fine, but then it went on for 7 minutes too long and then got very kind of sanctimonious at the end, and you just ugh. Just end it. End the sketch. I mean, you couldn't have been handed anything more easy than the... First of all, they had Baldwin back as Trump, which is annoying. And then they just... I mean, you got handed something that was there. All you could have just recreated it. That would have been kind of funny if they just redid it.
Well, the wild part about all of it was that, you know, it was about the debate and, you know, all the interrupting and all that when you had already had 2 days of Trump being in the hospital. Right. So it was like they couldn't redo anything. And as a matter of fact, at the very beginning, it was like, this is a recap of what happened 5 days ago, which now seems like 10 years ago. So they even like put a disclaimer. It's like, dude, we didn't have enough time to do anything about him actually going to the hospital. So yeah, it was definitely strange and it was off, and I'm wondering if it's gonna continue to be that way until things get back to normal, you know, on the set and in the studio.
They just don't have anyone. They don't have a go-to guy because they keep flooding in these celebrities.
Even before COVID last year, they weren't cranking out episodes every week, right? It was like an episode, then 2 or 3 weeks of repeats, and then another episode.
You're talking about when they were doing the COVID episodes, right? They did, I think, 3 of those.
No, I remember Eddie Murphy. When was Eddie Murphy's guest shot? It was in like November or December of last year, right?
Yeah, then they had the holiday break.
Okay, yeah. But even before that, it wasn't like show.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. Yes, it was?
Yeah. They took a break before Eddie Murphy. Like there was a couple weeks before Eddie Murphy's one. But no. It was a regular season before that.
Yeah. Okay. If they don't have a very strong guest host... It's garbage because they don't even, and I don't even know if it's the cast's fault because they don't get to do anything.
There's one woman on the show, Fred, who does the best impressions that they've had in years.
Yeah, I know, but unfortunately, they're not funny.
They're not. You're right, but she does like she did the Drew Barrymore show, and it's unbelievable how good she is.
She did all the characters. Yeah, she's a great mimic, but she's not a great impressionist.
Yeah, she's a great impressionist. Oh, she doesn't have a good joke writer.
Right. That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah, I mean, I'd rather her not sound anything like the people and be funny than, I mean, yeah, her Drew Barrymore is like insane. It's exactly on. And then they had a guy who did a good Tom Green. Which was random enough that I was like, let's go.
He had one line.
But
some sausage.
Yeah, which is just something he said in a movie. And I'm like, what? I'm like, you could, like, they didn't make me laugh. Like, but when he said, like, yeah, like, I was like, oh, that's Tom Green. It's a really good Tom Green. Like, look at what a random impression. This is going to be great. It's like when Billy West did Marge Schott, it didn't sound anything like Marge Schott, but it was funny as hell. Mm-hmm. Or when Billy West did with Larry Fine. Like, who does Larry Fine? It was the greatest. Or Craig Gass when he does Paul Stanley. And you're like, who the hell does the real Paul Stanley? Like the conversational with Paul Stanley. It's, like, unbelievable. But then, there was no content. So, anyway, I don't even know who's supposed to be funny on that show anymore.
Well, next week, did you see who's hosting the show next week?
I did not.
Bill Burr. Is next week's host. That's wild.
I'll hold out hope. Love Bill Burr.
I do too.
Everyone loves Bill Burr. So you'll get a good model. And he acts. So we'll see. We'll see where we go from there. And he's, you know, friends with those New York comics. So, but I don't know who anymore on that cast is supposed to be the home run hitter. There's not really a home run hitter on that cast anymore. So.
Kenan Thompson. You always go with Kel. Keenan and Kel.
I like Keenan Thompson, but I only saw him in 2 things.
Yeah, he wasn't in a lot.
And one of them was, and first of all, I didn't even think he was on the show anymore. I thought he retired, but whatever. All right, Rich. What's coming up in last night?
Well, we got to get to everything that's going on with the Patriots. Will they or won't they play this evening? That is still up in the air.
All right, we will figure that out in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's become painfully clear.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
What happened last night? 98.5, The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what happened last evening?
Well, as you know by now, Cam Newton has tested positive for COVID-19, spinning off into a series of events that may or may not result in a Brian Hoyer-led Patriots playing tonight in Kansas City. That should be fun. Well, according to Burt Breer, the Patriots had a team meeting around 8 a.m. on Saturday in preparation for their flight later on that day to Kansas City. Then a second meeting was called around 10:45, at which Bill Belichick told the players about Cam's positive test and that everything was on hold and that they should go home and wait for word on what to do next. Now, after receiving no additional positive tests on Saturday, the league put in place a plan to play tonight, pending no more positive tests before the team were to leave on their trip. Now, in order for to give the Patriots more time to confirm the health of the team, the NFL authorized, because they don't usually do this, the offer authorized that the Patriots could leave Foxborough this morning, the day of game. They usually don't want teams to travel on the day of the game. Within the next several hours, I'm not sure exactly what time, probably around 8 a.m. this morning, the players will be tested once more. And if everything comes back negative, the plan is for the team to take two planes to Kansas City. One plane for players and personnel that had no contact with Cam Newton. And then the sick plane, the one that will carry roughly 20 people who have had close contact with Cam. That seems like a foolproof plan to me. Now, as far as reaction for the team, Mike Giardi, he's going to be on with us at 9 a.m. He said that one player texted him on Saturday saying, quote, "We've seen what happened in Tennessee. It's a concern. It's scary. I don't want to bring this home to my family." Now, according to Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk, he said the NFL is now investigating the Patriots to make sure that they adhered to all the league's COVID-19 protocols. Now, this is on the heels of their current investigation into the Tennessee Titans, where things have just gotten from bad to worse. The infections continue to mount. There's 18 total up to this point. And with this past weekend's game against the Steelers already rescheduled for week 7, this weekend's game against the Bills is in danger of being in jeopardy as well, if you judge by the timeline of when these infections are being discovered. So in the meanwhile, Cam Newton, he posted an update on Instagram with the little goofy letters he likes to use, along with a picture of him wearing a mask. And he wrote, quote, "I will never question God's reasoning, just will always respond with, yes, Lord, I appreciate all the love, support, and well wishes, and I will take this time to get healthy and self-reflect on the other amazing things that I should be grateful for. Hashtag shine through the shade, hashtag not for likes, just for life, and then one of," which I'm assuming means love in his weird lettering.
Yes, the lettering is very strange, but it you know, he owns it. That's his lettering.
It's camp font.
Yeah. I mean, no one else uses that lettering. It's like having a shiny new pair of designer shoes.
I hope there's a program he uses to type everything in and then it just turns into that. Or, because I'm imagining him one by one choosing the weird, umlauts or whatever he puts over each one. Well, that would take him like 20 minutes to make a sentence.
For that message, it took him like all day.
Is he like a closet D&D guy and he's just got like a super cool Middle Earth computer?
Right, he's writing an elfish that is actually...
"You can find that writing on the ethereal shield somewhere in the fire depths of Mordor."
Well, according to Jeff Howe,
"I found the scrolls, Frodo."
"Oh, yes, it is from the Necronomicon. Hashtag Klaatu Varata Nektow."
Like, well, on Saturday, there was a bunch of kids playing D&D, and they're like, "A message just came in, sir. It's from Mr. Newton.
Right.
On his well, God's will."
Quickly, I need a 12-year-old from 1984 to read this for me.
"Oh, yes, just one of the guys.
Quick, fill a paladin to decipher this.
Oh, let's go play Tetra. Let's go play Galaga." "Or Tempest."
Yeah.
"At the arcade."
Yeah.
That's right.
"Please.
Subdivisions."
Oh, yes.
The divisions we all go through in high school. "Beware the fire drink."
Yes, they have a new record.
I did not know that. All right, well, Cam Newton, he's been feeling okay, as we said right there. And despite his COVID diagnosis, according to Jeff Howe, he said that if he is asymptomatic through 5 days and can pass two consecutive COVID tests and gains medical clearance, he could be back on the active roster by the end of the week. That's a long way to go, but a good start. That is interesting how fast you can get back in having a COVID diagnosis.
I think that might be the ultimate best case scenario, having him back on the roster for the Denver game.
I mean, we've all been told 14 days, but
yeah,
hey, the NFL seems to have deemed that he can come back.
You quarantine for 14 days. You separate from everyone for 14 days after a positive test. contest.
There was a time if you crossed that Rhode Island border, baby, if you're playing by the rules, you ain't, you got to sit.
Yeah. Yep. They're writing their tag down. Well, if in the meanwhile, though, if everyone is cleared to fly this morning, Brian Hoyer is your starting quarterback, which means Chiefs by a million. What happened to Jared Stidham?
Okay, let's talk about this, because Mike Lockhart and I were talking about this before the show started. We were sold. This has got to be the best snow job in the history of snow jobs by the Patriots. I mean, we love Stidham. He's our guy. You know, we're happy to go.
Stiddy.
Does anyone think that Jared Stidham would be the starting quarterback if Cam Newton was not here?
Oh, the way, I mean, there was no question.
No. I don't think
when
that's the case. I think Brian Hoyer would have been your starting quarterback at the beginning of the season if Cam Newton was not here. Now, we laughed at that because we were buying what the Patriots are selling, but more and more, I'm convinced Hoyer would have been the starter for at least the first month.
I don't know if before the injury or after the injury?
Before in the injury to Stidham.
Yeah.
Yes, before. I think okay. Hoyer certainly would have been the starting quarterback.
I don't know about that, but I do think maybe he would have. But I don't know what their thinking was at the time. I don't know how much the injury played into it, because you know how the Patriots are. They get all weird about that stuff, and if you miss like a practice, they redshirt running backs and stuff like that. They
like
do weird
Damian
things.
Harris, yeah.
Yeah, they do weird things. So it's certainly not out of the realm of possibility that Hoyer would have been it's 50-50, yeah, at that point. But obviously, when they kept him on the roster, when they kept Hoyer around, I thought that he would be starting. I thought he would be the backup, the number one backup.
I just, Fred, I'm with John. How many articles did we read this offseason about? Stiddy, he's putting in the work. He's handling things like a boss, and there's pictures of them out there. You know, he's throwing to Julian Edelman and all he's got. And now, I mean, he's nowhere to be found, and he's not injured. Like, least technically he's not injured.
Sure.
He's not on an injury list or anything like that.
Well, he could play if Hoyer goes down, Stidham's your quarterback. But here's the deal. How many Patriots reporters wrote glowing things about Stidham?
Everything the Patriots leaked them and ran with it. I mean, honestly, is Stidham the quarterback of the future or not?
By the way, how many New England Patriot writers talked about how Stidham could start over Cam Newton? They signed Cam Newton,
sure.
A lot.
That was out there.
That's completely a bunch of crap.
We're going to have Jeff Howe on tomorrow. Jeff Howe
We're having
is
Jeff
one of
Howe
the,
on today. Today, right?
Oh, he's on today? Oh, okay. Today. We're going to have him on. Yeah, that's right. Today at 7:20. Jeff Howe has been a guy that watched Stidham play.
Loves
and
him.
Practice.
Yeah.
And loved him. So I want to get his opinion on what happened between then and now, because we know what Brian Hoyer is. And the thing is, it's not just they're putting him in there because he knows the plays better than Stidham, and it's, you know, he's a guy that you could plug and play, because he's been second string since the beginning of the season. Like, this isn't because of an emergency. You got to throw Hoyer in there.
Yeah, Dan just said something about a wedding in Texas is where.
Remember when he left and they were like punishing him, you know, supposedly punishing him for leaving and all in.
But this long, like,
he's
it's gone
for a month
this long.
Over, no?
It sounds very Patriots-y.
It does.
Maybe. I mean, listen, if that's the origin of his, demotion in the quarterback rankings, then that's weird. Like, that's real, especially if you really believed in this guy, and it says to me that they didn't.
No, of course they didn't. No, if this guy's the second coming, he's playing. It doesn't matter what he does.
But just real quick, Rich, you brought it up. Does anyone think the Patriots come within 17 points of this team tonight with Brian Hoyer?
If Brian Hoyer's never going to get killed.
He's awful. And you know what? This is the sixth different season he's been a Patriot quarterback. He's never started for the Patriots. This is his first start in a Patriot uniform tonight. His last 12 starts in the National Football League, he is 1-11. And that dates back 4 years. His last win, 2016, Fred, against?
I would guess the Lions.
Correct. As a member of the Chicago Bears, that was his only win that season. 5 starts, he was 1-4 in 2016. That win was against your Detroit Lions. This is not a good quarterback.
No.
All right, well, when we get back, if for some reason there are positive tests this morning, we have somewhat of an idea of the chaos which will ensue as far as this game being rescheduled, moved, and how it's all going to work out. It's quite a cluster F that the NFL's got themselves into, but I've got a little information on what they're planning on doing if that happens.
All right, here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Now, more Touch Rich. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. And Rich, there is some things that have to happen before the Patriots take the field tonight, or before they even leave town.
Yeah, this is interesting. So we may find out before our show is over, or probably more than likely 10:05, right as soon as the show is over, because that's the way news breaks. But if for some reason the Patriots end up with any positive tests this morning, the game will almost certainly be postponed. But unlike the Titans game, this one is much harder to reschedule. So, according to the Washington Post, the NFL has been discussing the possibility of adding an 18th week to the regular season to fit in games that need to be rescheduled. Now, according to some of the reports that are out there, if the league decides to move forward with that 18th week, the Super Bowl would still be played on the same date that it's currently scheduled to be played, which is February 7th. And to make the extra week fit, the NFL would just simply eliminate the bye week between the championship games and the Super Bowl. So you would just go back-to-back AFC-NFC championship right to the Super Bowl, which would cut down all the pomp and circumstance that usually comes with that media week. Well, the only downside to adding an extra week is that teams that earn the top seed in each conference would potentially get 2 weeks off before playing their first playoff game. And according to reports, the NFL thinks that could be risky since those players could contract COVID-19 during their 14 days away. So to keep that from happening, guess what they're considering for the playoffs? Yep, a bubble. And that's something that's been thrown around there for a while. And today there is, I guess, a phone call between the Players Association and the league where they're going to discuss not only this whole postseason bubble and the 18th week, but there's also discussions, John, and I saw you mention this last night, about there being a potential pause in the season. And this is something I saw a bunch of people writing about as well. If this breakout continues, and let's say that the Patriots do find that there are multiple different people who were found positive this morning, that is something that is being considered. The season being put on pause for about 2 weeks in order for everything to get back to normal as far as testing is concerned, and also for them to reevaluate all of the COVID precautions in which they've had. Because for this to happen so early in the season, it is somewhat concerning, because at some point you're going to have to figure out where to place all these extra games. 1 week might not be enough, and then they're considering about possibly eliminating several of the games from the schedule and making it only a 12-game season. But it really all depends on what happens right over the next several days here.
Well, the thing is that you learn from the Titans-Vikings game that the actual game, it apparently, at least in that case, did not lead to the spread of the coronavirus.
Right.
So
it's a travel.
Right. It's what happens after practices are over.
Yes.
It's people going home to their families. And we were reading last week about, they asked Ben Roethlisberger, so what are you doing? And Ben's like, you know what? I'm homeschooling my kids. I don't have anybody over. I go straight to the facility and I go straight home. And while that might seem a bit extreme to some people, if the NFL actually wants to do this and wants to get it done without what happened to Tennessee and what happened with the Patriots. And Kansas City had a practice squad guy test positive, a quarterback as well, last week. If they want to avoid all the problems, then every single NFL player has to do what Ben Roethlisberger is doing, and that's not going to happen. The danger is the NFL has protocol after protocol after protocol, and on paper it looks great, but it doesn't factor in human error and defiance.
Well, that's the thing, is that if you just live your life, you know, the way that most of us are living our lives, that's what's good. You would be pretty good. So, it's not, rubbing up against each other at practice. It's not you know, playing the game. What it is that, yeah, it's like hanging out and catching it in that situation.
And I can see why this is infuriating to the NFL, because, you know, you had a situation, I think it was 2 weeks ago, where a player on the, I think it was the practice squad in Atlanta, ended up testing positive. They removed him and everything seemed to be fine. Now, I don't believe that they traveled together, and that might be the difference, because what happened with Tennessee is that, you know, I think the first, didn't they shut down the facility on Tuesday? I believe they shut down the facility on Tuesday, so no one was there. Yet, as late as yesterday, they were still getting positives mm-hmm. from members of the team. So, you know, we're learning a lot about how long it takes, the incubation period, where I'm you not have it. And that's why...
I read that too, and I'm not convinced that those guys didn't get it somewhere else.
Well, that would be one hell of a coincidence, because
there's
18 people on that team when no other team this is happening with right now.
No, I'm not convinced that those guys didn't go out and get it in some other way too. It doesn't matter either way. I mean, they got COVID, so it does. I mean, it you can get COVID. I mean,
well, the reason they're looking at that though is because it all came after they were traveling on a plane together, and their concern is that, you know, if one person gets sick, how long do you wait until you believe the whole team is in the clear? It's a weird spot because, as I said, with Atlanta, it didn't seem to be a big deal. But in fairness, that guy was on the practice squad. He wasn't the quarterback of the team like with the Patriots, who, you know, touches the ball, you know, on every play.
They're not getting it playing football, though. They're not getting it during the game. So what I would do if I was the NFL is I would just bump out these games as fast as I can. I mean, because I would just play. I'd want to get in as many games as possible.
Everyone play 6 days apart on short weeks and rapid fire this thing?
No, I would play the games, though. I mean, like, because Rich was saying, you don't know how long the incubation period is. I'd rush these games.
Well, the fear is that people on the team are infected, and if you play those games, they all have to travel together, and then more people will get it.
Right, there's no way to win this. There's no way to win this.
But that's the thing, is that if you know, you have a couple of infections and you don't play the game, then you got to cancel that game, and then more infections come out. So you play the game, and then you get your infections, and then maybe you only lose one game instead of two.
Yeah, well, that's why they're talking about pausing the season and then reevaluating how they're doing all of this.
But Rich, if you pause the season, then there's a chance for infection for players who aren't playing. All here's it takes is one kid in Florida to go out to a bar or visit a friend he didn't know was infected.
This is going to happen, and they're going to have to juggle it. This is what's going to happen. I wouldn't pause anything. That seems counterproductive. I agree with John. I would, you know, case by case basis.
It doesn't seem like
how
a
many
good
people.
Answer, yeah.
How many people have to test positive today for them to cancel the game?
I think one, because I think then it shows that it's there.
There's a spread, and you don't know how many other people. I mean, isn't the incubator? I mean, this is Cam tested positive. What, Friday morning?
Friday night.
Okay, Friday night. Yeah. What's the incubation period of this thing? They don't know how many people have been infected or when they were infected. I mean, isn't Monday a bit soon to do this?
Nope.
Well,
what are you going to do if you're the NFL?
I'm just saying overall health-wise, is it Monday a bit soon? I don't know
The reason, the only thing you can look at right now is Tennessee. And Tennessee, as I said, there was infections on Tuesday, and you're still getting some on Sunday. And that's, what, 5 days right there? So, still in that window, and that's why this is so frustrating for the NFL.
I'm getting them. If they test negative today, I'm getting them on that plane as soon as possible and playing that game. And then I'll deal with the fallout after. I'm not screwing around.
But the fallout could be that your players get infected.
Yeah, but then I would point to the game that Tennessee played against the Vikings, and I would say that
But they travel.
Right, but I would
that, say... See,
but,
it's but not even then, the game, but it's then the I would, travel that but, they're worried about.
But I would say that... I don't know what the incubation period is, and you know,
but they do know the incubation period.
What I would say is I can't control that. So based on the information I have, I played the game, knowing that the act of playing the game would not endanger another team, according to the data that we currently have, which isn't a lot. And then, you know, I would come back, and if it spread, it spread. Tyler, go ahead.
Hey guys, how are you?
So hey,
I'm up early for a reason. I got some inside information that the Pats aren't playing tonight. They're playing at TF Green is canceled. I haven't spoke to my team over at in Boston, but I think they're going to cancel that within the next hour. So
now, what did you hear?
The plane out of TF Green is canceled.
Oh, it is. Okay. And that's all you've heard?
Yeah, and I haven't spoke to the people in Boston yet, but I'm thinking they're going to cancel that within the next hour. The news should break around, I think, 9:45.
So that's the airport in Providence?
TF Green, yes, is in Providence.
Okay, because you're right, because the one thing that is solid is that they're not taking aircraft one. For some reason, there's some type of document thing that they didn't get passed, but there's two separate planes they're taking, one out of Logan and one out of Providence. So, I mean, there's something solid to that.
Okay. All right. Well, let's see.
Now, how do you have that information?
Just some people I know over there. I've been talking to them all night.
Okay. Wow. Interesting. Well, right. I don't know who that guy is, but that's. I mean, but he's right. I mean, there are two different planes.
I guess they did this last season.
When a lot of the team contracted the flu, they did this too. And you know what? I'm all for the news breaking at 9:45.
Mm-hmm.
I'm all for that.
Show.
Yeah,
that's right. Listen, news people out there, you got your hint. You got your little cheese.
Somebody call TF Green. Get on the horn. Let's go.
Let's go. Let's figure it out. They've canceled the flight. Apparently, they've already canceled it. A private flight. They've said get out.
I can usually sniff out somebody who's BSing us. For some reason, I'd sniff it out on that one. They seemed like fairly,
Well, I'm glad that they made the announcement.
See you in January.
Yep.
Oh, man.
See you in week 18.
Because you're right. If this gets canceled, it means more than just one game being canceled. Everyone's looking at this, and because if you've got two teams now that this is happening, then you've got a pattern, and then unfortunately all that crap they talked about having to do, like the pausing of the season, which I'm with you. I don't know if that cures anything.
Think about it, though, Rich. If someone tests positive this morning, which would be the reason they'd cancel that flight, then you have to look forward to this Sunday's game. Then you have to worry about this Sunday's
home game against Denver.
Or the
Tennessee Bills game. That's in jeopardy because the timeline from that and so on.
I keep telling you, without a bubble, there's no beating this thing.
There is.
Limiting the damage.
All right. Well, that's the thing. You limit the damage. You play when you can play. This is going to happen. They're going to have to be fluid. It's just like everyone else, like every other business, they're going to have to be fluid with this.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I know the numbers are going up, but I mean, these guys should be able to not get COVID.
There's a simple way to do it. The question is, do they have the discipline to do it?
I mean,
you can
still go out, just wear a mask. I mean, you know.
Or go out in places where you're far enough away from other people.
Yeah, don't go to,
If you're in Florida, though, which is wide open, right?
I know, especially being a Patriot. I don't know what you're doing around here getting COVID. I mean, what are you doing? Like, where are you going?
Stay in Foxborough, man.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Apparently my wife picked up wings yesterday from Buffs, and they have, plexiglass. You're in a capsule.
Wait a minute. You're burying the lead. You got Buffs yesterday?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you suck.
Little Buffs.
Damn it.
But apparently if you sit at the bar there's you're in a capsule.
Yeah, you.
So
have
if you're around here, I don't know how you're getting. I don't know what you're running around getting coronavirus for.
I think that was part of that rule when they said that people could sit at the bar. They had to put plexiglass up to protect the people behind there.
And my point being, even if you go to a bar, you're surrounded in plexiglass. So I don't really understand how you're going out if you're Cam Newton getting coronavirus. But there you have it. I don't know exactly where that occurred, but. It is out there, in a state like this, I'm not positive, that it shouldn't be a terrible issue to.
And the Patriots have been one of the best when it comes to all of this. I mean, and so, by the way, the Chiefs have, the Chiefs had a somebody test positive too on the practice squad. So both of those teams at this point haven't had any kind of issue. You know, other teams have had like one or two people there, but and you're right, Fred. This being Massachusetts makes it even more concerning, I would think, for the league because this is supposed to be one of the best spots. Whereas, as you said, you look at Florida where it's a free for all. That's why they're probably looking at this and going, oh, boy, this is all weird. So hopefully it doesn't all fall apart like a house of cards.
I don't know. It just, I don't know. If one person, I don't know.
It's an abundance of caution.
I understand. But
if it's just one person, it shouldn't be as big of a deal.
But if
a
guy got sick, like they've done this before. They did this last year. They flew two planes because a bunch of guys were sick.
That was the flu. This is obviously.
And it was more than one person who had the flu.
Yeah.
No, I know. But they've taken these precautions before, so I don't know. And it, and they played the game, and it didn't ruin their season, so we'll see. All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.